Morning. Hope you guys are doing well this morning. Hey, before we get started, before I get into my message, I want to just follow up some of the things that Cheryl was saying. I hope that you guys will really take advantage of some of the opportunities that we are putting out there, that we keep putting together. I know that the pandemic has kind of thrown a spin on everything that we do, but I hope that you guys will take the opportunity to get involved with some of our small groups, some of the ways that we have put out there to allow you to connect with each other, some of the ways that we have put out there to allow you to continue to grow in your faith, some of the ways that we have out there for you to also impact this community, the wider community that we are a part of. I read an article this last week, and it was just talking about how a lot of churches, when the pandemic hit, they pulled back, and all that they're doing is basically this. They're providing a message on Sunday mornings. And so a lot of congregations have been those that just sit in their homes and are just kind of receiving and consuming, in a sense. And a lot have lost that kind of interaction and that impact that they were having on their communities. And I get it. I mean, even just doing this is kind of tough. It was tough before, but you add all these dynamics and it gets hard, and some churches are not able to. We at Christ Church believe that we have been called to be connected. Amen? We've been called to be connected. We have been called to reach out and impact our community. We have been called to continue to grow in our faith and be equipped to do what God has called us to do and to be who he has called us to be. And so for that reason, we continue and have kind of done whatever it demands of us. We have revamped, we have rearranged, we have kind of relaunched and restarted some things to continue to give our congregation those opportunities to do that. But that does, like Sonia was saying, that requires action on your part. That requires that you guys step in there. And also, even some of you who are sitting at home, that requires that you will figure out what are the ways that we can continue to be connected with each other? What are the ways that we can continue to grow in our faith and encourage each other in our walk with Christ? What are the ways that we can continue, even in this time of lockdowns and face masks and social distancing, continue to make impacts on our community? And because we believe that so strongly, I'm saying this partially as a warning, because I wanted to warn you guys, we are going to continue to relentlessly come after you with these opportunities. So I wanted to warn you guys about that so that you're not offended, so that you don't feel like you're being, you know, singled out and harassed. We're going to harass everybody because that's what we're called to do. So I'm also saying this as an appeal to you. Please sign up. Sign up because that relieves us of some of the pressure that we feel that we're under to really continue to harass you just to continue to be that, you know, we have said that we're a compassionate Christian community here in East Greenwich, and we want to be that light as God's people. We cannot do that alone, but we will continue to put those opportunities out because that is who we've been called to be, no matter what the environment that we live in. No matter what the pandemic that may, you know, surround us, we need to figure out the ways to do that. And so we're trying to do that. We cannot do that without you. So I just encourage you, again, get online, figure out what are some of those things that you can feel safely, that you can engage in, that time-wise that you can engage in, but then figure out what are those ways that we can continue to be that body of Christ that God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. Okay. Another thing, we're going to do a little bit different this morning. Now, as we get into God's word, we're going to be reading Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. We don't usually do this, but I want everybody to stand up. Okay? Everybody stand up. If you're at home, go ahead and stand up. If you are at home, if you are online later on, stand up. This is God's word. Throughout the church, there's a history of people will stand up out of respect for God's word. I heard a pastor, though, say something that was really interesting. There are two other thoughts on this. He said, you know, we also stand up to remind ourselves that this is something God is calling us to do, not just to listen to. Amen? And aside from that, we've been sitting down way too long recently, right? So this is God's word. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Christ himself gave apostles. He gave the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers to equip the people of God, his people, for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach a unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God to become mature, attaining to the full stature and measure which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad you stood up for that one? I mean, that if there was ever a stand-up passage, that's a stand-up passage, right? Did you hear all that movement in there? Equip, work, service, build up, attain, reach to. But did you also hear what God was saying to his church? The focus that he has on his church, the purpose that he has on his for his church, what he is investing in his church, he is pouring out into us. All of that in that passage. You know, when an artist pours into, invests in a work of art or is focused on that art, you know what they do? They put a frame around it, right? And I don't know if you guys realize it. I don't know if you realize it. You who are here, you who are at home, if you realize, but God has put a frame around you. God has put a frame around you. He's put a frame around this church because he's saying, you know what? I am focusing on this church. I am working. I am pouring into this church. So this morning, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about what it means to be framed by God. Amen? Father, be here this morning. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place and fill these spaces wherever and whenever we are. And we're hearing these words. Take these words, not my words, but your words. And drive them into our hearts. Your words come with life and they bring life with them. They totally rearrange our hearts and our thinking and our minds. So come and do your work. Come and transform us into that body of Christ, the people of God that we have been called, that we have been framed to be. Show us what it means to be framed by your love, by your grace, by your purposes, by your definitions, by your attention. God, show us what it means to be framed by God. We pray this, Father, for your glory, because you deserve it. We pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ, because he has given everything that this might be possible. We pray these things that the Spirit and by his power, these things might come to pass. The Spirit who even now is with us and is speaking to us. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, you can be seated, but I want you to do something on your way down. I want you to turn to somebody and I want you to say these words. Or if you're online, text these words or type them in chat. Turn to somebody and say, I've been framed. Kind of odd, right? I mean, a little bit different. Come on, you guys. I mean, some of you guys are not turning. Type it in there. Do something, right? I've been framed. Now, it sounds odd, but I want us to know this morning that we have. It is true. We have all been framed by God. Okay, imagine you're a little kid, right? And you walk in one afternoon, and all of a sudden, as you walk in the house, the smell, it just, that aroma, that beautiful aroma hits you, and you realize that your mom has just baked a whole batch of chocolate chip cookies, right? And the aroma just fills the house, and it's just, it's killing you as you go through your day, not to just go over and sneak one of those, or two, or 10 of them, right? And just eat them, and easier to ask forgiveness than permission, right? And you're thinking these things, but you're being strong. And you're being strong as you go through your day, but one of your passes by the kitchen, you look over there, and you realize, all of a sudden, you realize the cookies are gone. And there's just crumbs left. And in fact, as you look, the crumbs, there's a trail of crumbs, and they lead, and you follow them, they go right to your bedroom. And one of your dresser drawers is kind of ajar, and you open it up, and sure enough, there's like this stash of cookies in the kind of in the back corner of your sock drawer, and you realize that, you know, I didn't put those there. And as you leave your room, your older brother and sister, you notice that they start smirking at you, like they know something that you weren't quite aware of until just this moment. And just that moment, what do you realize? You realize, you know what? I've been framed. Right? That's usually how we use that word, right? That we use that phrase. When we hear that phrase, I've been framed, it comes with a negative connotation that attention is going to be drawn to me in a very bad way at this moment. And so when we're using this phrase, I want us to take a turn this morning with that phrase. I want us to realize that when we've been framed by God, it's not in a negative way. We've been framed by God in some very powerful and some very positive ways. We have had an outline, a target put on our back, an outline put around us, because God is saying, you know what? By these lines, he wants us to say, you know what? You've been framed. You've been framed with my focus for the work that I am doing. For my attention is on you. You've been framed. I want us to be able to go. In fact, I want us to have such a great kind of concept in our mind, this sense about what these words mean, that by the time we leave this place, we're actually kind of proud of it. We're willing to go up to somebody and say, you know what? I've been framed. You've been framed? I've been framed, right? We want to go out and we want to get it like t-shirts that have it printed on that, so that we start running around here at Christ Church with these, I've been framed. Because that is how incredibly, what a positive just force that this is in our, this is such an incredible message that God gives us, that he has put this frame around us. There are two reasons that I believe that he has put this frame around us that I want us to look at this morning. One, he has framed us for development. Okay, framed us for development. And this is actually a large part about of what these verses that we read from Ephesians, what's contained there. He's framed us in order to do his work, in order to work and make us into something we were not. He has also framed us for display. So he's framed us for development. He has framed us for display. The verses that are all on the other side of the verses that we read, so the ones that come before, the ones that come after it in the book of Ephesians, they're all about how God has framed us for his display in this world, to display us and display his glory through us in this world. So we want to look at those things this morning. First of all, we have been framed by God for development, for the work that he is doing in us. Anytime that you frame out a house, Greg, you're here, you've done a lot of this, right? You frame out a house, and what are you saying when you frame out that house? You say, you know what? I'm going to build something up within these lines that hasn't been here before, and it's going to amaze you, right? At least you hope it does, right? But you're saying, anytime that you, as a photographer, like we have the cameras that are here, and in those frames, what we're saying is anytime you frame out a shot and you say, within these lines, I'm going to work on, I'm going to wait for the composition, the elements to come together to tell the story that I want to be told through that shot. And God is doing the same thing in our lives. And he says, he frames our lives in the same way. He says, I want you to know I am doing work in this life, and you're going to be amazed at what I bring about in this life. He is doing his work. It's where he is developing his masterpiece, is in us. And that's not just us as individuals. He says he does that in us as individuals, but he also puts a frame around his people, his community, his body. He says, I'm going to do something here that you've never seen before. Now, how does he do that? What do I mean? He frames us. Well, let's go through just a tour of kind of scripture and history, and let's look at what he means by he frames us. First of all, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, it says that he framed us in creation. Well, how did he do that? Well, in creation, he made all kinds of amazing things. We're surrounded with them every day. Right? We walk outside, we see the beauty of creation. You look up at night sky during the middle of the day, summer, winter, spring, doesn't matter. You see the beauty of God in creation. Amazing things. He called them good. But then when it came to creating you and me, human beings, he framed us out. He says, you know what? I'm going to do something special here. He framed us out with these words. He said, let us make humanity. Let us make human beings in our own image. He framed us. He says, you know what? Watch this. There's going to be something special that happens here. It's going to set them apart from all the rest of creation. Let us make them in our own image. And it says he did. Male and female, he made us in his image so that people would see a bit about God when they look at us. He created us to stand out from creation by this. And for that reason, Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, the psalmist writes, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because we've been framed, right? Well, then we go on from that. You know, later on in that story, it says that by our own choices, by the decisions that we made, we started to frame our own lives in kind of with rebellion and with choosing to go directions that God didn't want us to go, to kind of step outside of his frame and make our own frame. And it says as a result of that, that all of a sudden death and sin and brokenness and disruption in our relationships and all these things started coming, and those started to do their work in our lives instead. We started to see that picture and that story develop. But God wasn't satisfied. And Isaiah, it says literally, he was not satisfied that no one could do anything about this. So he stepped in and he did something about it. It says that he came in and he laid down his own life and he reframed us with the cross again, with his attention that he gave us in the life of Jesus and through the death of Jesus, the resurrection. He says, I frame these. He says, I'm not going to let them go. By framing us, he said, in those words, he says, you know, for these, I'm even willing to lay down my life so that death and brokenness don't have the last word in these lives, that they don't get to write the story. Because I have better things intended for them. We've been framed. Because of that, in 2 Corinthians, we read this last week too, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that this frame of being in Christ, of being framed by Christ, because of that, we don't even recognize each other according to the categories of this world anymore, because that's all gone. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation, a new creation. The old creation was great. This new creation, there's even more going on. God says, watch this. So he frames us. We've been framed. He frames us by giving us his Holy Spirit, pouring his own spirit out in us and through us, and by giving us his word so that by his spirit and by his word, we might be shaped and that we might become more like him. It says that his very character is worked in us through his spirit and through his word. It says that his own thoughts, we think his thoughts after him because he is at work in us, because he has framed us out. He has targeted us. That we think his thoughts, we see from his perspectives, we begin to understand his wisdom and how he sees in his pursuits and purposes. We even begin to reflect Jesus himself, that he is seen through us. We don't just talk about him, it's that people get to watch us and they see Jesus in us. And he says, and it's not just about us individually, but that actually, even at a greater level, and even more importantly, that when we come together as a community, he has made this place where we come together as a community because of how we live together, we show the fullness of Jesus Christ because we've been framed. And that's what leads us to Ephesians 4. That's what gets us to the verses we read this morning, because he says that you have been framed in the way that you've been put into that body. You've been put into that place so that not only will they, that God will be doing his work on your life through them, but he will be doing work on their life through you as he comes through you as well. And in all of this, that we have this amazing ability to then together reflect the beauty and the grace and the forgiveness and the power and the love and the healing and the blessing of Jesus Christ as a body, as a church, as a community. It says you've been framed. You've been framed so that this world you might make his love, you might make the message of God's love and the message of his son and the message of forgiveness and redemption and salvation, you might make that message known to this world who still might be in darkness or in brokenness, in sin and in death. And he says that, so within that frame, this development happens. And he talks about this development, you know, this work that God is doing to make us into this new creation, this new amazing thing that he has outlined us for. You know, last week we started talking about our logo. Now, right behind me is is one version of our logo. And we talked about how this is this picture with this water pouring down and the water splashing out in it, right? And that's this picture that we believe this is what God has said. But you notice there's a frame around it. And we believe that God has framed us out, and that is the work. That is the picture that he wants us to represent. I want you to imagine that that is the picture of your life. That is the frame that God has. That is what God wants to work in your life. What he wants your life to be is he wants you to be that person that he is pouring out his grace, his spirit, his word, his presence abundantly into you, so much so that it's just splashing out from your life. And what he's called you to be is so that every time that you go out and you come into contact with somebody else's life, that actually they go away from that going, man, that felt a lot more like Jesus than it did like Van, right? That felt a lot more like Jesus than it did like just the ordinary people that I run into every day. That feels like I've come into contact with the very presence of God in that person. Because he says, that's what he's framed us for. You know, we've been using this series to try and help us to bring some content kind of into this picture. We believe that God gave us, you know, in whatever the process that is, he's the one that really kind of has given us this logo to think about, what does this mean for our lives and for our church? I believe if we would just take that, we'd say, God, this morning, let my life be such that you are pouring into me and splashing out to others in such a way that they don't even see much of me, but man, they feel you. If I could just be that in this world. But then he says this too. He says, you know what? I don't want that just for you. I don't want that just for you as you're at home with your kids, that they're feeling, you know, God coming through you, that as you're at the grocery store and interacting with people, or you're walking down your street, or as you're driving down the street, or that people just sense, man, there's something very different about this person. But you know what else? I want this frame to be around you as a community. I want this to be a picture of your community. That this becomes this community that we see God pouring into this, pouring his presence, pouring his gift, pouring his gifted people in here. That part of this flood is God's bringing people in here into the space. And he says, because I'm going to show myself through them. I'm going to show myself through apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I'm going to show myself through all the gifts that I've poured out, and all the people and all their experiences and all that they bring, all of them coming together as these little pictures of this amazing fountain that's coming down and flowing through us. And I'm gonna bring that all together, and it's gonna be just this big picture of the same thing in such a way that it's gonna not just impact individual lives around them, it's gonna impact a whole community. That people would look at Christ Church and they'd see that. Every time they would see this, they'd go, oh yeah, that's Christ Church. That's Christ Church. When every time they show up, God shows up. We know that because they're here, we have the blessing of God is splashed out. God pours out so much into them that they just can't even help but pour out into this community. They can't help but impact the lives and the institutions and the schools and the structures and the dynamics of their community and their region. They can't even help it. Because of how God pours out into them. Just splashes out everywhere. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? But that is what God frames us for. It is to develop us, to build us up into that. To build us up into that frame. But one thing about that frame that we have to know, you know, when you frame something out, not only do you see the picture within, but you leave a lot of stuff out, don't you? There's stuff outside of that frame. You're saying, you know what, we're not interested in that. And sometimes we look at those things and we say, yeah, I don't want to let go of some things, and so I'm not gonna live in that frame. Because frames do. They raise attention to some things, but they also cut some things out. There's some things that God has not called us to. There's some things he wants to focus on, he wants to raise our attention of, but there are other things that he wants us to leave behind in order to become that picture of what of what he wants us to be. Now, some of the obvious things that he wants us to leave out are things like sin, right? He doesn't want us to sin anymore. That should be left out. That has no place in this picture of what God's creating. That is not going to enhance how God pours himself through us and other people sense the presence of God in us if sin is still there. So we leave behind things like greed and selfishness, don't we? We know that we're supposed to cut out of our lives things like deceit, things like manipulation of other people, those things that are hurtful to others, because we know that that doesn't help. It hinders God from being able to pour through us and splash out of us. It hinders us from reaching that picture and being made into that image of God that we've been framed out to become. And so we leave those things behind. What that means is, you know, we can't be those who do those things anymore. We can't be people who go out and personally attack and trash others on social media. We can't do that. We can't be those. It doesn't matter if we feel passionately about something. We can't communicate that way. We can't be those that when people rise up to stand against and march against and speak against injustice, we can't be those that get into those crowds and then start literally sometimes torching other people's livelihood, just destroying other people's lives. We can't be those people. Now, we can't be those who stand beside and just let injustice go. We can't be those people either. We can't be those people who sit back and just kind of ride the luxury of a system that kind of works to our benefit, even though it totally obliterates some other people. We can't be those people. We have to find ways to stand up. We have to find ways to rise up and to speak out and everything else. But we have to do what the Bible talks about, speaking the truth in love. We have to figure out how to do that. Very clearly, the way the prophets did, where they just nailed it, but they didn't. But they spoke also in this sense of pursuing justice, but also in the kindness and the gentleness of God and the goodness of God towards anyone on any side of any issue we might approach, because God loves every one of them, doesn't he? He is seeking the salvation and the reclamation and the rescue of all of them. Now that's tough, isn't it? That's a lot harder than just kind of, you know, I'm against everybody who's on that side of the fence. That's a lot harder. That is the burden we bear if we're going to be framed by God. Because that's how God goes at it. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, look at God, love perfectly like he does. He sends rain to both the just and the unjust. He makes the sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteous. He has a way of bringing blessing and goodness and life into people's existence, even if they're off kilter, even if they're dead wrong. And I'm glad he did, because otherwise we wouldn't have this table to celebrate, would we? If he hadn't been willing to reach those who didn't deserve it at all. So we need to let go of those sins. If we're going to be those who are framed by God, we need to let go of unforgiveness. There is no place in the frame of God for unforgiveness. In that frame where God has said, you know what, literally, I have given all that I am. I have laid down my own life, spilled my own blood in order to forgive the sins that stood between me and you. How would we ever in that picture think that we could hang on to unforgiveness that we have against someone else? So we let go of that. But there are also things that are not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily sin that he asks us to let go of. He says, you know what, I haven't called you to that. I haven't given you the resources to do that. That's outside your frame. I need you to focus on those things that are inside this frame, that you might be the person who uniquely shows that God has come and he is releasing. You show a unique part of God's grace through your life. In Ephesians 4 says that he has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He has given these different gifted people in this mix. He has brought them in and gifted them in the ways so that they will help us understand that the clarity of that frame of what we have been called to and what we have not been called to. You know, for those reasons, that's part of the reason later this month, our leadership team, where they're gonna take their leadership retreat. We do this every year. Why? So that we can pray, so that we can discern, that we can discern together. What is it that God has called us as a church to be? Where has he called us to focus? Where has he called us to go? He says that's what he's given leaders for. He has given leaders to come alongside of each one of us where we're like, I'm not sure what God's called me to do. I'm not sure how he's gifted me. So Cheryl, she's leading these rooted classes and these ID groups to help clarify what is it that God has called me? How has he gifted me? What are the directions he has called me in so that his life, his waterfall might splash out, be seen in me and splash out. His presence might be seen through my life. That's what we see in Ephesians 4. It's through this development, this framing for development that God does. And it's through this thing called equipping. In Ephesians 4:12, it says that we have been called to equip the saints. In the Greek that these verses were originally written in, that word, it means something along these lines. It means to do what is necessary, equipping, to do what is necessary to get something ready for the function for which it was intended. To do whatever is necessary to get something ready for the function or the work for which it is intended. Sometimes that meant when Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, right, and he meets his first disciples, they're mending their nets. The word that's used there is equipping. They're equipping of their nets. It means that they are putting them back together so that they can do the work for which they were intended, because they become broken. It was a word that was used for resetting a broken bone. It was a word that was used for bringing factions together in a political scenario, like some of us might have experienced at some point in our lives, but two very distinct factions to bring them back together so that the community would know the harmony that leads to the prosperity that is intended for that community, right? That's one thing that equipping means, and there are times that God does that, doesn't he? That in order to do his work in us, he has to fix something that's broken. He has to bring something back into alignment that is out of alignment. Another thing that it means is it's also used in preparing an army. That is bringing together all the parts and equipping them, getting them ready to do their part. And so a general was said to equip an army. So not, and that just didn't mean handing out a sword, handing out a gun, right? That's not what you do to get an army. You have to train them to use that equipment. You also have to train them to work together as a unit so that they accomplish the goals that that group has. Equipping isn't just a matter of, you know, you come in and you find out what God has called you to do and you run out and you start doing it. It's coming in and finding out, you know what? We're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of a community of people. And God has gifted all of us and brought us together that we might accomplish far more than any one of us would accomplish on our own. And getting us to that point is what Scripture calls equipping. So it's used of a sailboat when back then it took a whole crew. It didn't just took a bunch of equipment that you could run from, one person could run on their own. It took the equipment and the crew and training the crew and getting them to work together so that that ship would sail. And that crew would work seamlessly. It's equipping. And there are times that that's what God has to do. It's not just getting us ready. It's not just fixing things that are broken. Sometimes it's getting us to play nice with others, right? Sometimes it's to learn how our part works in conjunction with this other part, or our life, how it comes alongside this other life, and those two lives together work to reflect an aspect of Jesus that might not have been seen otherwise. Maybe it's that someone that has done something and unintentionally, intentionally, doesn't matter, but they've offended you. And you have the opportunity to forgive them. And it's in that act of forgiving and how you interact with that other person that the grace of Jesus is seen. Not just that you can define what forgiveness means, right? So we would learn to be the body of Christ. Equipping us is these things, is bringing us together. And sometimes that's what God is doing. That's why I said earlier, it was so important that we take advantage of these opportunities we have to connect with each other, right? To get in these groups that we can connect, to get into C3 groups, or to get into studies where our faith is developed, to get into opportunities like in the care center where we can actually continue to impact lives in this community, to make Jesus known through how we act as a community together. That's why those things are so important. That's why we're saying sign up, right? Get involved, be a part of the body of Christ. The second thing that I said that God does this, why he frames us, is to display. He frames to develop these things, to develop that picture in us. But he doesn't just want to develop that picture to keep it hidden away. No, he puts us up front and center in this world. He wants to put us on display. And that's why that development is so important to him. That we might become like Christ, because he has framed us in order to put us up in this world. God essentially is saying to everyone around, by framing us in this way, he's saying, watch this. Watch what I do in these lives, and watch what I do in this community. Watch this, because you're going to see my glory. You're going to see the glory of the kingdom of heaven in this place. You're going to see what it means to have God, a God who is near at work. You're going to see inside this frame of Jesus Christ, you're going to see these people where I pour out my spirit. And because of that, out from them splashes the presence of God. Out from them is known the healing and the power and the grace and the forgiveness and the release and the peace of heaven. So God does this to display, to make himself known. God works in us in order to display. He works in us in order to develop towards that display. So how can we, what do we do? What do we do to cooperate with what God is doing? Because that's really what it is. What can we do to cooperate what God is doing to make this, you know, within that frame, this the picture of our lives and this the picture of our community? What can we do? The first thing I want to say is this: listen. Learn to listen. Learn to listen to God's Spirit as he speaks through his word, right? And that implies that you're going to be listening to his word. You're going to be in his word. You're going to be taking time in his word. As he speaks through his word and as he speaks through these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, those who are gifted within this community. You know, sometimes we think of those as those who are in formal places of leadership, but it isn't. Sometimes they have formal places of leadership. Sometimes they have just been gifted and, you know, they serve, they just work in this community. They just look like an everyday, normal, every other person who's sitting in this congregation, except that because of what God has worked in their life, they have grown into one of these people that, you know what, they are one of these that helps shape the people of God. They're a teacher that teaches us things that would just astound us. They're a pastor, and not just like me, but someone who just gathers and cares for and connects people. They're an evangelist that's constantly out there making Jesus known to those who didn't know him before. They're a prophet who, every time they speak, you just feel like you're hearing from God himself about whatever it is that they're talking to you about. They're an apostle that's going into places that haven't had, they're establishing spiritually so that the work of God can be done. And that doesn't take a position like a pastor position. What that takes is just a calling. God says he has his body is full of these. And that's where the work is done. So we need to be listening to hear the Spirit speak through his word and also through his people. So be listening. Second to this, be praying. Be praying for our leadership. Whether that's our leadership team or this informal, you know, these people that are in our body that are looking for what God, be praying that they might see, that they might have wisdom, that they might have insight as to how they should be leading, how they should be pouring in and developing the church. Because that is a task, it is a tough task. It's a tough task now. But they are the mentors, they're the coaches, they're the ones that are here to help, to equip the saints so that the body later, it says, will build itself up in love. Be praying for them. Be praying that God equips them and protects them and encourages them. Third is this: look for that place in our church where God has called you to plug in. Look for that place in that picture that God has called you to play a part. And have the courage to go there. Have the courage to go there. You look at your day and you say, I don't have time. You gotta have time. If we don't have time for the kingdom of God, how are we ever gonna be the people of God? right? We got to do this. For some of you, that might mean I need to get into places where I connect with God's people. I need to get in places that might mean that I need to get in places where I can understand God's word better. I need to search someone out that can help me understand what he's talking about. For some of you, it may mean that I need to find those places where I can actually be out there splashing out the love of God into this community and making him known. But find your place. Find that place that God is calling you right now. So get online, and we have all kinds of opportunities, like I said there. But go right now online and find your place. Find what you can be a part of to be connected, to be a part of this thing that God has framed us out to become. You guys, God has pushed us ahead. He's put us front and center, framed us out and said, listen, I want you to pay attention because this is where I'm working my masterpiece. Right here in East Greenwich, I am working my masterpiece in this little part of the body of Christ called Christ Church. I want you to see what's going on there. So he's put a frame around us. He's put a frame around each one of our lives to say the same thing. I want you to watch this because of the story that I'm going to speak, the message I'm going to speak through that. I'm going to let you know my presence and my power through these people. The question that we have is, will we have the courage to step into that, to grab hold of that, to grab with pride and say, you know what? I've been framed, right? I've been framed. I'll wear a t-shirt if that's what it is. I'll get a button. I'll get a hat, whatever. I've been framed. That's my life. And that is my community. It's the one thing in life that God has called me to be and do. Amen? Can we do that? You've been framed. Live into it. Grab hold of it. Be the people of God.